You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We got a little Nick conversation to have. Is it Nick? I don't even think you can say Nick, right? It's always got to be Nick. That's the plural. That's the name. So some Nick's conversation to have. And we'll do what we do. We'll get to your calls at 800-919-3776. We'll do Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. I guess Rich Kleiman felt so badly about not joining the show last week. He has reached out and desperately, I think desperately is the appropriate word, desperately wants to join the show this week, and he will at 11:30 this morning. We'll spend a half hour looking into the point guards and the Knicks and all that good stuff with Rich Kleiman at 11:30. So we have a busy day. Let's start out, and this is kind of a, as Ty and I like to say, and we'll bring Ty in as we do it about 9:15 every Saturday morning. This is what we like to call the potpourri kind of sports talk radio, where you have a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a dash of this. There's no one thing that is dominating the headlines. And of course, we'll get into Jamal Adams and the disaster that that situation is. I want to start with Major League Baseball quickly. First of all, Florida, I mean, a hotbed, rampant COVID-19 now running around down there. For the NBA as well. You see Florida, you see Texas. And the frustrating thing about it is that all the places that basically laughed at wearing a mask and defied the whole, you know what, you should self-isolate and you should wear a mask and it helps avoid spread, all of those places now are having exponential explosion as far as numbers are concerned. It's unbelievable to me. And then you watch these videos, and I'm not saying it's everybody, but you watch these videos of, you know, people just bursting through the grocery store with no mask and you're infringing on my rights to stop it. I mean, it's an embarrassment, really. I mean, when you get into a car and you put on a seatbelt, are you freaking out? Oh, this is, I can't believe that I'm made to this. No, it's safe for you. It's safe for other people. Put on the mask. My little PSA here. All right. But I wanted to get into baseball. I've heard a lot of this title has an asterisk. This title is not, it's not legitimate. It doesn't count. It means nothing. You don't believe that. Actually, even if you do believe that now, what's today? On June 27th, I ask you this. If we get to, and hopefully we get there, and hopefully we're playing baseball. By the way, just to let you know, and you'll be very pleased about this, my fantasy league will go on. We have reduced the cost of the entry to the league, but the league will go on at 14 members. So that is, if that was something you were concerned about, be concerned no more. But I ask you this. If we get to, and I'll pick a day, October 9th, Yankees Astros game 5 of ALDS, you know, October 17th, whatever the case may be, game 7 ALCS. When you wake up from slumber that morning, when you get out of bed, is your first thought, okay, there's an asterisk here. It's kind of an important game, but in the same regard, a meaningless game. I'm not all that interested in this game. Is that really your thought? Look, it's going to be different. And I got to be honest with you. I think in some ways, Major League Baseball, and I know this is sacrilege and I am a purist when it comes to baseball. I think in some ways, Major League Baseball actually might be more fun. It might be. I mean, is it the truest definition of a champion? I'll say this. If the Dodgers, if the Cubs, if the Brewers, if the Nationals, if the Yankees, if the Astros, if the, I don't even know who the AL West team is, but the Indians, right? It doesn't even matter who the West team is. But if those teams get in, or for the most part, it's your upper echelon teams, then how is it not the same? Like, if the Yankees win the division and get into the postseason, and the postseason is exactly the same as any other postseason. How is the championship not legitimate? How does the championship not count like any other title? Now, if the Orioles go 31-29 and sneak into the second wild card, do I think that you can have the conversation then that maybe something's a little bit wrong? Sure. I do. But I don't understand why people are so incensed, so angry about 60 games will show you nothing. You know what? I don't think that's fair. And I don't think that's true. I think for the most part, you could have a team or two that sneaks in. And I think that makes it fun. I mean, I think, you know, I'm watching a Mets game on a Thursday night and it's not, all right, well, the 31 and, and 33 and this game really means nothing. No, do you realize that every single game you play now is a three-game series? Every game. So if you sweep a series, I mean, if you go 3-0 in a series, you're basically winning 9 games in a row or vice versa. If you get swept in a three-game set, you're basically now going 0-9. I don't understand this mindset of, oh, this season, it means nothing in baseball. And again, I go back to my original question. If you say that now, right, if you call me, you're like, Dave, here's the thing. I don't care about this season. I'm a Yankees fan. Doesn't matter to me. Don't believe in it. Don't call me in October and be like, okay, I don't understand why they're starting Paxton in game two over Tanaka. And I'm so nervous about this series against the Oakland A's. I don't want to hear you. You can't go into this season of it's a fraud season, it's a sham, it's not legitimate, and then as we get towards the postseason or into the postseason, then turn up the radar and be like, no, I do care. So you decide by July, what is it, the 23rd, 24th? We don't have a major league schedule yet, do we? I don't think we do. So you decide by July 23rd, 24th. You're either in or you're out. And it's up to you. And I don't fault you. I mean, I don't agree. The one thing I don't like, and I promised I wouldn't get overly upset at the changes, at the rules, at the differences, at whatever they were going to do. And I wish they would have agreed on something originally so we could have seen some of the interesting pieces kind of introduced into baseball. I mean, could you imagine if you got to have players with mics on? How great would it be? How great would it be to be, if he actually played, hearing Aaron Judge in right field and his thoughts as he goes back to catch a baseball and throws it in, and then they actually talk to him? How great would it be to talk to Pete Alonso as he's rounding third base, or hear what he says as he's rounding third base, one of his many home runs? Like, how great would that be? But the one thing I don't like, and I said I wasn't going to complain, I'm not complaining, but the one thing I don't like this runner on second business. I actually think you had an opportunity to do a really cool thing. If you were baseball, you could have gone home run derby. Tie game, end of 9 innings. Okay, you know what? We're going to go right to the NHL shootout, in essence. You put your best home run hitter up. We put our best home run hitter up. Whoever you want on your team to throw to him, whether it's the water boy or whoever it's going to be, throws him 5. Our guy gets thrown 5. Whoever has more home runs, that's who wins the game. How great would that have been? Now, the difference in the NHL to the Major League Baseball is that in the NHL, at least you're getting a point regardless. You're getting some kind of positivity if it all comes down to that in Major League Baseball. But this is the year for that. This is the so what year, right? A lot of you have told me over the most recent weeks that you don't even consider this to be a legitimate season. So you got to kind of make up your mind as we get towards the season. Is it legit? Is it not? 800-919-3776. NBA, we have a schedule, right? That starts on July 30th. You get a couple of weeks of the finishing up of the NBA season. And I understand why everyone is nervous about it. I do. I mean, you just don't know. And that's the thing. In life in general, you get nervous when you don't know what's next. And the truth is, in sports, in life, in the world right now, we don't know what's next. We don't. We don't know what's next for baseball. We don't know what's next for the NBA. I mean, let's be fair. God forbid, and they've even said, we don't know what happens if players on a team become infected with COVID-19. Like, where's that number of, okay, now it's 5. You know what? Now we've got to shut this team down. Or it's 3. We can remove those 3. It's all unknown. And the unknown typically makes people very nervous. And I understand why that would be the case. And I understand both sides of it. I understand that, you know, we got to figure out a way to push forward. I do. And I also understand that, you know what, this is just, it seems like we're rushing back so desperately. I mean, you look at Clemson football right now. Clemson football's had, what, 37 positive tests? 37? And the show goes on? I mean, it does not make a lot of sense. And you have to figure that at some point, you're going to have a roster that is littered with COVID-19. And then difficult decisions will have to be made. So I get it. I mean, we are in the most uncertain time that I ever remember in sports. It's not even close. There's nothing like this we've ever dealt with before. And then you get, you know, the U.S. Open is going to go on and we're excited and it's going to be here in New York in late August, early September. And then you see this week Novak Djokovic, who's dancing in a nightclub, shirtless with hundreds of others. So again, it goes back to you've got to be smart about it. And if you're an athlete and you're one of these NBA, it doesn't matter what sport, and you're either in a bubble or you're NFL and you're going to practice, you got to do the smart thing. And I'll ask you this, do you trust, forget about the athlete, do you trust people to do the smart and right thing? And the answer for me is easy. I don't. I mean, we're on complete lockdown and you have athletes that are they're just going to do their thing. You have DeAndre Baker, you have Ezekiel Elliott, you have Dak Prescott, right? I mean, you have athletes that are just saying, I don't care. I need to be able to do my thing, whatever my thing is. So if it means go to the facility, spend the day, and then go home and do that day after day after day. Yeah, do I think that the bulk of the athletes would do that? Probably so. Are you going to have the outliers? And probably many of the outliers say, I know, I'm not doing it. I want to go to the bar. I want to go to dinner. I'm not worried about putting myself in some kind of a mini quarantine. Will that exist? That will exist. That will happen. I think that's if you're the commissioner of these leagues or a coach in these leagues or management in these leagues. Has to worry you. I mean, the truth is, do you trust the players to do the right thing? And you don't even need my opinion because I think we all have the same thing. 800-919-3776. And quickly, and I like the potpourri. I like that we're in, we're out, we do this, we're out, we do that, we're out. Like a lot of different things. And we can take calls on any number of things as well. I mean, have the Jets messed up this Jamal Adams thing worse than you even thought humanly possible? Here's the thing, and this seems easy. And there's blame to go around all over the place. Jamal Adams, yes. Adam Gase, yes. Joe Douglas, yes. If you did not intend to pay him, and that was your long-term plan if you're the Jets, then why didn't you tell him that pre-draft? Jamal, sit down. We love you. We want you here long-term. But let us get something straight. You will not be paid. And I'm not saying this is a tact that they, I'm not saying this is the decision they should have made. But if this is what they believed, and this is what their plan in place was going to be, then you sit him down and you say, Jamal, here's the thing. We love you. We want you here long term. You will not be getting any more money from us heading into season four. After four, going to five, we will sit down first day of the offseason and iron out a deal. And I'm not saying this is what it has to be, but they should have made it perfectly clear. These are our intentions. And then he could have said, I don't want to be here. Trade me. Or you know what, guys? I'm willing to deal with that, which he probably wouldn't have. Let's figure out a way. But what you have now is awful, is going to get worse. And truthfully, I don't know how it ends well between the Jets and Jamal Adams, because they're not paying him, and he will be miserable if he doesn't get paid. Miserable. So what Joe Douglas, and I like Joe Douglas, but I think he's made a major misstep here, because this is not a guy that you can have either not show up or show up and be miserable. And right now it sounds like that's one of the two options you're going to have if you're the Jets. Have him show up and be miserable, or not have him around your team. And that is just bad news from all accounts. So the potpourri moves on. 800-919-3776. Lot to get into. Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. We'll introduce Ty. We'll welcome him. All nice words about him. What a great job he's doing. Truthfully, his ego needs a little boosting. He's having a little bit of a tough time. So we'll bring him on in a moment. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to Stump Rothenberg. We'll get to Rich Kleiman. We're going to get to everything.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We're 3 weeks and 5 days from the start of Major League Baseball. Can you imagine the start of Major League Baseball? It could be Orioles. I mean, God knows, you pick the team. Orioles, Marlins, and you'd be locked in, right? Like they could put any two teams running out there onto the diamond, and you would be. You want to come over and have a socially distanced barbecue on my deck? I'd love to, but I can't. Why? Orioles Marlins are starting at the 2020 baseball. Oh, well, now I understand why you can't come over. All right, this is typically the time that we welcome him in. He is the producer slash, you know, co-host slash, you know, runner of all things on the show. And that is, as you affectionately know him, Ty D. Butler, Newhouse School of Communications. Good morning, Ty.
Good morning, David. How are you today?
I am okay. I'm all right. How are you? I'm worried about you.
Why are you worried about me?
I feel like maybe you have less than you typically have on a Saturday morning.
No, I've got I've got all the juices flowing. For the first time since March 10th, I looked at an NBA schedule and saw games. I didn't see postponed. I didn't see TBD. I saw actual games. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself today.
And that's your sport, right? You're Mr. NBA.
Well, I would classify it as this. To me, all sports are treated equally. Some are just more equal than others.
What does that mean? That's ridiculous. You don't like hockey as much as you like the NBA.
Of course not. That's why I said some are more equal than others.
So in order, so I don't know what this nonsense is. So in order, your NBA is your number one sport, followed by the NFL?
NFL and baseball are pretty like neck and neck.
Really?
I guess it just depends on.
So you have the NBA in your leadoff spot, followed by NFL, baseball, could go 2-3 depending on the time of year, hockey 4.
You know what? Well, if Tiger's involved, I might like golf more than I do hockey.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if Tiger's involved is what, a three-time-a-year thing now?
Yeah, well, four-time, the four majors.
No, but I'm saying, but involved.
Oh, you mean
yeah,
like
but I mean,
competitive.
By the end of Thursday, we could not have Tiger involvement. By the way, did you see this? So the NHL held their draft lottery yesterday, and the number one selection is still unknown. Because one of the eight teams that loses in that play-in round will wind up with the top pick in the NHL draft. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah, so Islanders, Rangers, if you lose in that opening series, you will have a 1-in-8 chance of winding up the number one pick in the NHL draft.
That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty cool, right?
Some intrigue there, yeah.
So at least if the Rangers lose to Carolina, you have that little glimmer of hope. I mean, 12.5% is not nothing. 12.5% chance that you're going to wind up with the top overall selection.
I like that. And actually, when it comes to hockey, I was going to call you Don. I don't know why. Wow. When it comes to hockey.
If you're thinking hockey and you're going to call me Don, I feel like I've done my job here.
When it comes to hockey, like, the playoffs obviously are just super intense. You can't leave your seat.
Best.
When the Rangers are involved, like what they were in 2015, you could have confused me for the biggest hockey fan on the planet.
So you're all, like, when the Rangers are involved in important postseason games, you are all in.
Yes, I was all in, and I remember watching with my stepdad. We're in the living room. All five games were close. The Rangers, if I remember correctly, had led in three of them, even though they lost in five games. So the series outcome wasn't actually indicative of what unfolded.
No, there were overtime losses.
Yeah,
it was awful.
Overtime
they
losses.
I mean, Lundqvist was interfered with. They didn't call that a couple times.
It was terrible, but I was so into it. And then I remember, what was it, the Eastern Conference Finals the year after, where you were
against
just
Tampa.
Yeah, where you brings up bad memories for you.
Bad memories.
But when they're in it, I'm all in, Dave.
It's great. When the Rangers are good, and I'm sure Islanders fans feel the same way and Devils fans feel the same way, but when the Rangers are in it, there's something different.
So maybe this year we'll get that, and if we can have that, you know, on the same nights as NBA games, I'll have the two TV set up.
Do you have a two TV setup?
I am in the midst of having a two TV setup.
I don't have a two TV setup.
Wife's not really into it because it's not exactly aesthetically pleasing, but I think I'm winning that war.
And at what point do you say, I'm sorry. Like, I respect your opinions, but this is not about you anymore.
Yeah, that's already happened already, especially because the last few months we haven't had sports, so I've been able to pay attention to her a lot more. We're watching all these vlogs.
You find you've been a better husband over quarantine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I'm tapping into that romantic side, creativity.
Oh, have you been painting with her?
Yes, we actually paint. We actually just moved.
There's no way you're painting.
No, we did.
You're not painting. Stop it.
Listen, in our last apartment, right before we moved, which is a very questionable decision, we decided to paint our bathroom.
Oh, I meant like you know, sitting next to each other and doing like, you know, impressionist painting.
Oh, like the
so you're actually doing functional painting that's going to make the apartment look better.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Painting that actually matters.
Yeah. You're not doing like clay work together, right?
No, like ghost.
You're not like sitting behind her and caressing her as you guys are working on the clay.
No, the new school version of that is watching vlogs with your wife. All the people of my generation know what I mean when I say that.
You know what a vlog is.
No, but it's not something that I would imagine your wife is not into that. Like the YouTube
vlogging?
Stars.
No. I'll tell you, and we'll get to the calls in a minute. You know what my wife, she watches on her iPad like shows as she's doing everything. As she's cooking dinner.
I can't
She'll
do
be
that.
Watching a show on the iPad. As she's on the treadmill. I don't know how she can concentrate on like an in-depth show as she's on the treadmill.
Yeah, see, that's
as she's doing laundry. It's unbelievable the attention span that she has.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. When I'm watching a movie or a show and I get distracted easily, I've got to go back and rewind because I can't pay attention.
No, I can't do two things at once. All right, let's get to the calls. I'm glad you're well. I had a concern that you weren't going to be well, but I'm glad that you are today because you know I care.
Of course you do, and I care about you.
800-919-3776. We're calling today the Potpourri Show. It's the last show on Saturdays in June. So let's start it out with Spike in Jersey, my dear friend, maybe best friend. Spike, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning. You are a wonderful friend, a great husband, and a great mentor to the Jackson Pollock of 98.7.
I hope he's a little more rational and not maybe as crazed as one Jackson Pollock. But yes, I think he has a world of potential.
Then that makes the Newhouse School of Communications even that much more important to attend. Last couple of days, I've been up and down. I don't know how you feel, and you're very perceptive. We have that unique relationship. I'm having so much trouble refocusing on sports. Maybe when it starts, I'll get into it more. Of course, the banter, the Jamal Adams stuff. I mean, it's unnecessary. It's just childish to me. He's acting like a child. But the Knicks stuff gets me a little interested. I said on DCR, which, by the way, I like that name. Very catchy. When I spoke to you guys this week.
You want to know the beauty about DCR, Spike, and you may not have thought of this, but let me just throw this out there for you.
Sure.
All right, what are our first names?
Oh, yeah, I got that, yeah. The last name is yours, right?
No, but first names, Dave Chris.
No,
right?
first, oh, well.
Or last names, DiPietro Canty Rothenberg. You can go either way.
What an anomaly. Wow.
Right? So you never thought of that. This is the kind of in-depth stuff I bring to the show.
Well, and that's why you are pound for pound. Okay, I'm not going down that road. We always seem to get a trap. Here's what I want to say about what the Knicks have. And I know audiences go in and out of the radio during the week and weekends, different crowds. But I said to you during the week, and I think Canty said it and you said it, the Knicks have more guys upstairs than they have active guys on the roster. And I read this morning Alonzo Trier was released.
Brought in, what, Theo Pinson, I believe.
Not Beta Pinson's grandson, right?
No.
Do you remember that name? But the thing with Trier, I never thought he got a fair shake. The kid could score. If you have a stat you could look up, I'm sure Ty is just terrific at this.
You know what's amazing to me, Spike? How could you have been such a dreadful basketball team for the last 2 years? I mean, the dregs of the NBA. Right. Have a guy that you think has tremendous potential as a young player, and he's gone now, and we can have the conversation of, did he get a fair shake? I would think the one thing you would be sure to do over that tenure is to make sure that everyone is at least playing to see what they're capable of doing.
Well, here's my point, and thanks for the time, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and thanks for batting me lead off. Here's the thing. If you look at his points per minute, every time he got burned and he put in, he scored. He was, you call him a chucker or whatever, he had that natural knack. And I saw him, if he developed full bore, being a Lou Williams type, who just put him in the game and he scores. Now, Lou Williams is one of the greatest to ever do that in the history of the league. He's just instant offense, and he's got
But on a good team, Spike, on a good team, and here's the thing, and I know people are upset about it, and I saw Twitter yesterday, people up in arms over how could you cut Alonzo Trier. On a good team, what do you think Alonzo Trier was going to be? 12 minutes a game? On a good basketball team, 15 minutes a game? So how upset are you, who doesn't really play defense, who can, yes, score the basketball? You're really going to be that upset about moving on from Alonzo Trier? And I saw it yesterday. Oh, how could they do this? What a horrible decision. This new regime, not even giving him a chance. Alonzo Trier is an NBA journeyman. And maybe if he walks into the exact right situation, he'll play 15 to 18 minutes a game. Maybe 20 on the perfect situation. And that's what he is. Kevin in Oakland. Kevin, you're on 98.7.
Dave, I love you, but you are way off base and
with what?
About
well, hang on, Kevin.
Whole,
this is very attacking. What whole, am I so off base on?
The whole extra inning thing for baseball.
Now, here's my take.
Part of the-
let me give you my take. I would say let's just play it out. That would be my number one thing. I don't.
You there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, I lost you for a second. Yeah, but at least you still have the integrity of the game. In the hockey shootout, breakaway is part of the game after they play, you know, their three-on-three gimmick that they have. You know, what you're saying is it's not even a part of the game. In the U.S. Open, we might as well take a garbage can, put it at the other side of the court after, you know, four sets or matches,
but
and have
okay,
them
let me ask you this. I understand you're a baseball purist. You don't like the idea of it. You don't think it adds some juice to baseball?
It does, but how many games might be decided, you know, because they do have a better home run hitter with somebody lobbing the ball in there?
Yeah, but I think that kind of makes it fun. In a season when half the people don't even think it's a legitimate year, Kevin.
I agree. It does make it fun and gimmicky, but you still have the integrity of the game. You know, do you want the Marlins winning the World Series?
You think if I institute a home run derby for extra innings, the Marlins now win the World Series?
I don't, but that would be like the Rangers winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh, see, you're just a bad guy. Goodbye, Kevin. You're just a bad guy taking Rangers shots. How many games go to extra innings? Wouldn't it be kind of cool? I mean, you could. I think it'd be great. I don't need runaround. I don't need California rules. Is it closer to baseball than the home run derby? Sure, but it's still a big change. I mean, you're taking a game that's been this way for 150 years and saying we will completely change it. So if you're going to change it, why not go all the way through? Why not completely rip the Band-Aid off? Say, here's how we're going to go about it.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
What a disaster, huh? How they royally have messed this thing up. I mean, if you look back at the Jets draft over the last decade, you don't have a lot of home runs in the first round. He's a clear, surefire home run. And you're on the verge of even messing that up. It really is unbelievable. And you know what? If they were a well-run, good team, you wouldn't be having this. But this guy prides himself, and look, he's not part of the problem, but he is part of a team that has not been good over the last couple of years. He looked at himself as a winner, and he said it many times, I don't associate with losers, I'm not a loser. And I think that's a big reason of him not trusting this organization. I'm not saying that Joe Douglas won't be good. I'm not saying that Joe Douglas is not capable, but I think he has real question marks around the coach. And if you look at the last decade, I mean, this is not up for debate. The Jets have not been a good team since what, 2010? So we're looking at 10 years ago? The one year they're winning, they're in against Buffalo, and other than that, this has been a train wreck of a decade, right? So it's hard to imagine why Jamal Adams would have confidence in this organization. Now, maybe Joe Douglas changes all of that, and that's got to be the hope right now. But the fact that we're here and we're a month away from training camp and you don't know what's going to happen with this guy, and half the people say pay him, half the people say trade him, other people say it's the Jets' fault. Other people say it's his fault. Like, you have people all over the place when it comes to this guy right now. That's not a good situation. 800-919-3776. Let's get to these calls. Emmanuel in Flushing. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN, Emmanuel.
Hey, Dave. Dave, how you doing?
What's up, Emmanuel? How are you?
I'm good. I'm just happy to hear your voice for this very happy day. Let's talk about the Jets. You know, a lot of people felt that, you know, Jamal Adams is being selfish and betraying the Jets more than the Jets are betraying him. Because you remember now, I think it was last year during the season, there were rumors of him being traded. And I guess that was where I think when Jamal Adams began to really thought himself, said, do I really trust this organization? They tried to trade me and during last season, and now...
But you know, I mean, you know, really grow up. I mean, really grow up. I mean, you know, we're in the generation, the era where guys are gonna, you're gonna make a call on a guy. They were not looking to trade him. They were inquiring what they could get for him. I don't think it's that big a deal. And he takes everything so personally. You know, it's part of the blessing and part of the curse with Jamal Adams. Everything is so personal with him.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, you drafted the player. Just let's be real. I mean, he's not Joe Douglas' guy. I mean, he was drafted by, I believe, Mike Buchanan. And if Mike Buchanan was there, which he's not, he probably would not have done that. But you got a new regime in Joe Douglas, and now the last few months. Let me ask you this. Do you think you'll be traded before training camp or even during the season?
No. 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 I mean, what am I going to get for him now? If you trade him now and you get picks for next season's draft, next year's draft, 2021, what a horrendous, I mean, that's like malpractice if you're Joe Douglas. If you were going to trade him, you needed to trade him before this draft. I mean, if you had CeeDee Lamb and another offensive lineman and didn't have Jamal Adams, you'd feel a lot differently about this team right now. I don't think you'd be walking around saying, oh, I can't believe this is happening. So, you know, we got good value for Jamal Adams. The only way that you could possibly trade him before this season, and I don't expect this to be the case, is if you actually get value in return players-wise. You know, do I get Lyle Collins and, I don't know, Michael Gallup? Well, maybe now I would have that conversation. Because I'm strengthening my offensive line. I'm strengthening my wide receivers. And I think I get a lot of value in return. And value in return now. But I'm going to trade him. You get to use him this year. And I get nothing until next year's draft. Oh, you can't if you're Joe Douglas. You'd look like a fool if you're Joe Douglas. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm all right, Mitch. What's going on?
All right. Thanks for taking my call. I would say it's the worst time in the history. I can say, you know.
Of what? Of sports?
Sports and outside of sports, too.
This is not a good time. I tend to agree with you, Mitch.
Not a good time at all. First of all, I'm glad. I can't wait for sports. Got to cross your fingers that it does go through. You know, I'm a Clippers fan. I think they got the best roster. But I think LeBron's on a mission. He's got Anthony Davis, and then Milwaukee's pretty
good
in Denver.
You're a Clippers fan?
I'm sorry?
You're a Clippers fan?
Yeah.
How did you become a Clippers fan?
McAdoo. I remember when the Buffalo Braves. Yeah.
Wow. So you've got to be the only longtime Clippers fan that lives in New York.
I guess so. I hope Lou Williams decides to play. But one thing he's underappreciated. I don't know how he's on eight teams. Vince Carter, I think he's a top 25 guy. He says he's done, but say he wasn't done, we'd think about next year.
No, he can't. Come on. Vince Carter played in college basketball under Dean Smith, right? Or did he not? No, maybe not. But he played in 98. He's in his 40s. How could expect another season from Vince Carter?
I thought so. This season was cut short. Everything's upside down. Tops
but this was going to be his swan song, and you know what? He had the last night before they shut it down. He hit a three-pointer, and that's it. Vince Carter's done.
Well, I thought he could eclipse and pick him up. Just give him, you know, 15
You can't pick
minutes.
Him up now.
Yeah, I know. It's too late. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, no, you can't pick him up now. And you think he's going to – Vince Carter got to be, what, 42? He's not much younger than me. My game's not all – like, you would not watch my game, Ty, and Vince Carter's game and see the comparisons.
I wouldn't mistake you for Vince Carter.
No, I don't – unless you were – like, maybe, like, the scouting gurus could say Rothenberg and Carter have some similarities, but I don't think to the layman you would see very much of that.
So
no.
If we play Rothenberg –
like a Marty Blake kind of guy, like a Tom Konchalski might be able to, but I don't know that you would be able to look at my game and compare it to Vince Carter.
If we go – Vince Carter versus Dave Rothenberg, game 21. Do you think you can score a point?
No chance.
Not even a single point.
No, zero chance.
That's sad.
You think you'd score a point?
I think I could score a point.
Stop it. Stop it.
I would score a point on Vince
Carter. Stop it. He's 6'6".
No, I think.
You wouldn't get your shot off.
You almost score by accident. come up with the steal, just throw a hoist.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be taking the ball away from Vince Carter lots of times during your one-on-one battle with
him. Game 21, I can't score a single point.
Nope.
Now, if he's
Is he actually trying to destroy you?
I was just going to say, if he's determined to not allow me to score, that's a different conversation.
Well, that's the premise I'm under.
No, but if we're just in the gym one day and I'm like, all right, yo, let's play one-on-one.
He's up 15-0 and he drops back, he's like, go ahead, shoot it. Do I think you could hit that shot? Sure. But under normal circumstances, if it's like he's in it to win it and there's goal.
Yeah,
and he needs to shut you out, he would shut you out.
I agree with that. I agree. But I still think I can score a point.
Oh, my God. You just said you agree.
I think I can score one point. That's one point.
He would destroy. He would destroy. He would destroy you.
All right.
First of all, he would dunk in your face every time.
Well, he's retired now, so I guess we've got a lot of time on our hands. So
it's two amateurs, really.
Make it happen. Make it happen. You hit up all your connections, and let's see if Vince Carter will come out here and play.
We'll ask Rich Kleiman. You look at Rich as kind of an NBA aficionado, right?
Of course. It's a friend.
Yeah, when he joins us at 11:30, we'll see what he thinks your chances are against Vince Carter in a one-on-one to score a point.
Kevin Durant's a different story. Vince Carter, I think I can score one.
Durant's
6'11".
So Vince Carter's 6'6".
Yeah, but 5 inches, that's it.
I understand, but you would not get a shot off against Vince Carter.
And Durant's
he would
also,
destroy you.
Durant's also in the prime of his career. And when he retired, or not when he retired, but when he got hurt, he was the best player in basketball. Vince Carter's, he just said he's 42. You know, he's 43. He just turned 43 in January.
I don't care if he's 67. He would shut you out.
At 67, you think Carter would shut me out? No. No chance.
I think if Vince Carter was 55, he would absolutely still blank you in a game of one-on-one.
I don't think so. You got some time to figure it out.
You have a very inflated opinion of yourself.
I don't think it's inflated to say
you think you could play in the NBA?
Of course not. I don't think it's inflated to suggest that I could score 1 point against 67-year-old Vince Carter.
How about against LeBron?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Might be the best player who's ever. He might be the best basketball player of all time.
You think? I mean, LeBron would dunk in your face. He would destroy you.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
And so would Vince Carter.
But you can't compare LeBron to Vince Carter. Vince Carter's a little. I respect Vince Carter. He's not top 25. Might be top 30.
No, I don't think so. Top 35. He's a great player, but I don't think he's top 30.
Yeah,
I don't think he's top 50.
I don't know. He might squeeze into the.
But that's not the point. The point is, against you, he'd be great, and he'd kill you.
21-1, my friend.
21-0.
I disagree.
I'm willing to say that there's a better chance you don't hit the rim during the game than you score a point.
There's a better chance I don't hit the rim during
he might not let you get your shot off.
It just depends how dialed up he's in.
If he's dialed up, you have no chance of scoring a point.
I don't know. I still think I can get one. Now that I think about it, I think I can get one.
You know, you are crazy. I love the confidence. Crazy.
You say so, my friend.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. Ty, what do you think the M stands for in Andrew M. Cohen?
The M?
Yeah.
It has to stand for Michael, right?
It could be Matthew.
Andrew Michael Cohen just has such a nice ring to it.
It does sound good. Andrew Matthew Cohen. Mark?
Mazio?
Not give me Mazio.
Yeah, Andrew.
Who would name a child Mazio?
I just like it.
You might like it, but it doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
Now, if he was a Yankee fan, I don't think he is. It could be Andrew Mantle Cohen.
Could be.
Would you ever name your soon to be child like middle name Mantle or Maris or Jeter or something like that?
Or maybe Kobe.
Kobe, that would be nice.
That would be great.
How about like Stephen Bryant Butler?
Why would I name my child Steven?
Well, I think you're getting lost in the minutiae.
I don't think the first name is quite the minutiae if we're having a conversation about
it. Well, I mean, what kind of first name are you looking at? Brett?
Maybe Jonah?
You can't go Triple B. Brett Bryant Butler would be bad.
No. Jonah.
And you're gonna turn your nose up at Steven?
Steven is too generic.
Jonah is I don't want to continue this conversation. Let's go to Stump Rothenberg. All right. I got to start out better than I did last week. Last week was a horrendous start. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam, lead us off on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
What's up, Sam?
Doing okay.
You got me last week, didn't you?
I did. Yes, yeah. I did. So I think I'm 3-5 now. So you're still on the up.
All right.
So we're going to movies.
Okay.
So in the beginning of the movie, My Cousin Vinny.
Okay.
Ralph Macchio accidentally shoplifts what item?
Give me this question again.
Okay, so in the beginning of the movie,
right,
it's an Academy Award winning film.
Yeah,
My Cousin,
we know Marissa Tomei and Joe Pesci.
Yep. Ralph Macchio accidentally shoplifts what item?
Ooh.
It's what they think they're going to be arrested for.
Right. Was it tuna?
You got it.
Yes. Yes. And I believe it was at the Sack of Suds, if you remember. I think. The old Sack of Suds. All right, Ty, better start already. That's 1-0. All right, deep breath. We continue along. Let's go Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. NBA for you, Dave.
Okay.
With Vince Carter retiring, that's it for players drafted in the 90s in the NBA.
Okay.
But who was the last player drafted in the 1980s to play an NBA game?
Ooh. So, obviously, he's not a current player.
Long gone.
In the 80s. I wonder if it could be like a... It could be John Stockton. I should ask you nothing. All right, so 1980s.
This player did play until like.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I'll just throw that out there.
I didn't even hear what you said. God, I mean, all this thinking. I don't know. Mark Aguirre, but Aguirre was drafted earlier in the 80s. I think this is one of those that you either know or you don't know, and I don't think I know it. So I'm going to guess Mark Aguirre, but I know I'm not right.
No, 06-07, Cliff Robinson playing for the New Jersey Nets was the last player drafted in the 80s to play an NBA game.
101. Now, Ty, we do have the new rule that we've instituted.
That's a fair question.
If I didn't think it was fair, I would have called it out. I'm just bringing it to the attention of some people that might not know the segment that well or haven't listened in a couple of weeks. If there's a question that's just horrendous, I can turn to you as the arbiter and you could say, Dave, we're not accepting that question, right?
Yes.
All right. We're 1-1. Sean in Stamford. Sean, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
What's up, Sean?
All right. I got state capitals for you.
Okay.
Okay. The last two letters of this state capital are also the state's abbreviation. What city is it?
Albany, New York.
Bingo.
Yeah. Give me the... That would be 2-1. 2-1. Let's go to Eric in Queens. Eric, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Okay, Dave, good morning. I have a baseball question for you.
Okay.
All right, this player, he's played with two different New York teams. He played in the 86 Mets in the World Series, right?
The World Series, okay.
Yeah, 10 years later, he played in the World Series again, which was with the 96 Yankees, which is the 96 World Series. Then he returned back again in 2000 with the Yankees and played in the World Series.
What was his last one?
The last one was 2000 World Series with the Yankees.
He was on the 86 Mets, the 96 Yankees, and the 2000 Yankees?
Played in both of them World Series, yes.
One guy?
One player, that's correct. One player.
Hmm. You like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's think. Not Ron Darling. Maybe Cone. Cone. Could it be Strawberry?
Nope.
I'm thinking. Hang on a second here. I'm not giving you answers. I'll tell you when it's my final answer. So he was on the 86 Mets as a and this was all as a player, correct?
Yes, he played in both. He played in three World Series.
All right, so I guess it's going to have to be. I guess it got to be Dwight Gooden then.
You got it.
That took a long time. I apologize. What is that? 3-1 tie or 2-1? 3-1, right?
3-1, my friend.
3-1. Not a bad start.
Better than last week, of course.
Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's up, man?
What's up, Mike? How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm 3-1, so I'm good.
All right. Well, this is the question that me and Kyrie have been going back and forth for 3 weeks now, so I'm just going to ask it to you.
What does this mean? You've been going back and forth with Kyrie for 3 weeks with this question.
I've been talking to him about it, seeing if I should really ask it to you because I think it's really, really tough. So,
all right, well, go ahead. That Kyrie is taking my side to try and avoid this question, but go ahead.
All right, and I'm going to say that there is a big catch to this question. So let me know.
Is this like a trick? Is this a trick question?
No.
All right, go ahead. Yeah.
So there is one former Major League general manager who is also Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Who is he?
A former Major League manager.
Do you want to know the catch?
Go ahead, what?
Do you want to know the catch? Because it might help a little. He managed one game in 1977.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know this man, David. You know
well, I'm
him.
Sure I know if he's Time Magazine Man of the Year. He managed one. He was a general manager for one game?
Yep, but he's very influential for a major league team, still to this day.
All right. I'm thinking it could be Ted Turner, but I'm not going there yet. Wish I could turn to someone to help me here. Could it be Peter Uberoth? Could it be George Bush? Ay, ay, ay. It's a nice question, by the way, to be honest
with you. Thank you. You don't need any help. You know this. You're a smart man.
I'm going to say Ted Turner.
God damn it, Dave. You are correct.
I think he wasn't allowed to continue as the general manager. I think they said it was like he wasn't capable of that role. And they wouldn't let him do it. So is that 4-1, Ty?
That is 4-1, Dave.
That was a nice, you're impressed with that one, aren't you?
Yeah, you figured it out.
I thought it was Ted Turner, and then I thought maybe it was Uberoth, and then Bush, of course, owned the Rangers, so I didn't know about that, but I got to the bottom of that. All right, 4-1, beautiful start. Harry Brooklyn, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg, Harry.
That's Brooklyn Harry, pal.
Oh, that's why I said Harry in Brooklyn. What's going on?
not much. That was a good grab, that Ted Turner. That was a tough one.
Thank you.
How about the last goaltender to appear in an NHL game without a goalie mask?
Give me the question again.
The last goaltender to appear in a National Hockey League game without a goalie mask, without a mask.
Was it Andy Brown?
That's the one.
That's
very good. I'm impressed.
And I think it was in 72, I believe. Was that 5-1?
5-1. It's not 6-0, but 5-1 will do.
5-1. If the Jets start out 5-1, you'd be pretty pleased, no?
Yeah, but you're not the Jets.
Clearly. All right. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Sal in Dutchess. Sal, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. Good job. Here
What's
we
up,
go.
Sal?
All right, buddy. Here we go. I want the whole thing. I want the name of the college and the mascot. What college did Walter Payton go to, and who was the mascot?
I believe he went to Jackson State. Wait, hang on.
You just got to name the mascot now. You got the college right.
I got the college right. So, you know, Lewis Tillman, the Giant running back, also went to Jackson State. And I believe they're the Tigers.
Say it again?
We're not supposed to have two-part questions, mind you, but I believe they're the Tigers.
You're right.
And that's 6-1. Ty, do you see what's happening here?
The unfolding of greatness.
I mean, that's my wheelhouse. You ask me where someone went to college, that's a fastball down the middle.
Yeah.
Do you remember Lewis Tillman with the Giants?
I do.
You probably know him.
I do not.
No. He also went to Jackson State. So we're 6-1. Do we take a break and continue? Do we take one more here? I'll let you lead the way.
No. What we'll do here is we'll take a break.
Uh-huh.
Come back, and we'll see another 6-1 performance.
There's no way I can finish 12-2.
Let's take a break, though.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Do you have a gem this week?
Always, man. Come
we'll
on.
Get to,
you know
we'll
that.
Get to, we'll get to Ty's gem. We'll get to your questions, and we continue to roll on Stump Rothenberg next on 98.7 ESPN. We pick up where we left off. 6-1, a red-hot Golden State Warriors kind of start. Let's go to our good friend in Puerto Rico, Hector. You're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Hector. Hey, David, good morning. How are you today?
What's up, Hector? How are you, man?
Doing okay. And before I forget, last week I heard that somebody else called from Puerto Rico also, right?
Yes. And I believe I asked if he knew you.
That's right. Well, hey, you know, it's 3.5 million over here.
Well, you know what? So, even a broken clock is right twice a day, Hector.
That's right. Okay, Dave, hey, it's always good to hear your voice.
You as well. You're a comforting voice on a Saturday morning.
Thank you very much.
All right, where are we going here, Hector?
Okay, we're going New York Mets.
Okay.
Okay, my favorite team. Who holds the RBI record for a single game? The most RBIs in a single game.
A single game for the Mets.
Yep.
I think it's Delgado.
Eres el mejor. That's what we say in Puerto Rico. You're the best. Mm-hmm.
Ty, what's the record now?
7-1.
Mm-hmm. That's good, yes?
Pretty decent.
Let's go to Brian in Manhattan. Brian, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How are you? Hope you're handling
what's up, Brian?
Well, so American League MVPs. Since the year 2000, there's been 20 winners. Which is the team that has the most winners?
Oh, boy. All right. So let's think here. Trout has won how many? I think Trout's won 3, right? Since what year?
2000. So there's been 20 years, 2000 through 2019.
Mm-hmm. So Cabrera won multiple, and I think Verlander won. So that's 3 for Detroit. The Yankees have A-Rod twice, I think. And that's it for the Yankees. So it's not the Yankees. Trout's won 3. And Guerrero, maybe. Could it be the Angels? Anybody have 4? How about the A's? Tejada. God. That's a good question. I'm going to say the Angels. Final answer.
You're right.
Yes! Yes. What is that record now, Ty?
That's 8-1, my friend. Well,
I mean, should we stop?
Why would we do that?
Because we're 8-1.
I don't understand. If you get to the American League Championship Series, do you say, you know what? That's it. That's just bow
out. So what's winning the World Series in your mind then?
Let's go 11-1. That's winning
11-1.
We get 12 questions and you answer 11 of them.
You have very high expectations of me. I don't know that 11-1 is possible, to be honest with you. Let's go to Jordan in Jersey. Jordan, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
All right, Dave, I've got to slow you down here. So I got a college basketball question. Who's the last player to win two consecutive Defensive Player of the Year awards?
Defensive Player of the Year? All right. I wonder if it's
college basketball.
You know, I understand. Now, are we saying, I mean, are there different Defensive Player of the Year awards, or is there just...
There's the NABC, which is the main one, the one that everyone sees.
All right, I'm thinking Virginia. Javon Carter was also good. West Virginia. Brogdon was good. You know what was great was Aaron Kraft, but I don't know if he won two in a row. Okafor at Connecticut. I don't... I don't know. Ty, do you know this? You don't know this, do you?
I do not know the answer to this. This is
I'm going to say Javon Carter, West Virginia, under Bob Huggins, final answer.
You got it.
Yes! That's 9-1.
That almost should count for two, but yes, 9-1. That was pretty good.
That was a tough question. I'm totally stressed out right now. Can we stop now?
No, we got two more we got to take.
And one of the two has to be yours?
No, we don't have to do mine. I can hold mine.
How about if you have a gem? I hate to... Is it timely? Does it go stale?
No, it's not timely.
D'Angelo in Brooklyn. D'Angelo, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
How you guys doing? I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I have a who am I?
Okay.
He was the first African American to play for the NCAA All-American. First to play on the Olympic team. And
wait. NCAA All-American? So this is this college basketball?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
First to play on an American basketball team, an Olympic team, and the first to be in the NBA as African American.
So he's not necessarily the first NBA player to be African American. He's the first NBA player to do these other things, and right,
the first NBA All-Star.
But he's not necessarily the first Black NBA All-Star. He's the first Black NBA All-Star who also accomplished these other things, right?
Yeah, he first to be named NCAA All-American, first to play on a United States Olympic team, and the first to play in the NBA All-Star game. And he's a Hall of Famer.
But he's not the first Black Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, no.
All right, give me the listing of him again.
All right, NCAA All-American. He's the first to play on the United States men's Olympic basketball team, the first to play in the NBA All-Star game, and he's a Hall of Famer.
All right.
Played in 1953.
1953 in what? For which one of those?
I played off for the Celtics.
I don't know. There's a guy, and I can't
knock that record down.
Like Barksdale or Barksdale or something, but I don't know if that's the answer. But I don't. I really don't. I don't know. I'll guess Bark. I don't even know what his name is. Barksdale.
Yeah, Donald Barksdale.
Donald Barksdale's the answer.
Yes, sir.
This is a masterful performance.
This is like Armando Galarraga when he was just, and the only thing that could get in his way was bad umpiring. Like he was, I don't even really know about Barksdale.
I just learned that today.
I'm not even really familiar with him, and I've heard his name, and I remember him possibly being that guy, and it was a guess. All right, can we stop now?
We got one more, my friend.
Why do you hate me?
No, Dave.
What am I now? 10-1?
10-1. I'm rooting for your
success. We should retire
success.
The segment. If I go 11-1, we should stop.
We might retire it for a couple of weeks.
All right. Do we go Farmingdale or Astoria? You choose, Ty.
Let's go. I'm a Queens guy. Let's go to Astoria.
Sal Astoria, you're up on Stump Rothenberg.
Big Dave, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Sal?
Quick question. Who's the only catch you ever to catch two perfect games?
I God. It's not Yogi Berra.
Not Yogi Berra.
Not Yogi
Berra. He was a one-time Yankee, but not as a Yankee.
I'm thinking it might be Ron Hassey, but I'm not going
to. Oh, you saved DiPietro. You got it.
Yes! I didn't even guess it. Now, I know you're going
to
get all upset, Todd.
Yeah, we're going to have
to. But you know what? Stop it. Stop it.
No,
it wasn't my fault. I said I'm not guessing it, and he just lost his composure.
Yeah, but see, this is why. And I chose him. This was the guy I chose, and he can't show any discipline.
That's not, but here's the thing. That's not my fault.
Yeah, you're right. But
so,
play
the ding.
I'm annoyed by that.
Play the ding. So the two must be Len Barker in 81. And I guess Denny Martinez in 91 would be the two that he caught. Perfect games. Ty, 11-1.
Sal just ruined the segment for me.
11. No one could ruin that. 11-1.
That was pretty great.
That I honestly, I'm taking off weeks from Stump Rothenberg.
Oh man, let's bask in the glory during the break because we got to get.
And I'm so thrilled to tell you that Stump Rothenberg and the greatness that comes along with it is brought to you by the great law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. What's the M stand for?
Mazzio.
We don't. It's not Mazzio. Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple, like a name change, like an initial change in your middle name, or complex, like you want to change the entirety of your name, the law office of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through very careful, precise legal planning. And I know what you're saying right now. Dave, how do I get in touch with Andrew M. Cohen? I'm glad you asked. Just call him, 516-877-0595, or visit amcohenlaw.com. No matter what happens the rest of my day today, it is already at 11 o'clock in the morning. Been a rousing success. We've never gone 11-1 before, right, Ty?
I would imagine that this is the first time that's happened.
That was like Rosie Perez.
We are in
on
uncharted
Jeopardy from
territory.
White Men Can't Jump. What is the quince? That was awesome. 11-1.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.